I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. I'm sequestered far, far away on Judea's plains. Alex is in studio. And, of course, we have our guest, Mitch Harper, BYU insider. As you guys talked in the last segment, we talked about Taysom Hill and where he is and whatever. And everyone was, like, commenting about Sean Payton and how, you know, he's been this guy, the quarterback guru and all that stuff. And how he has something that he knows that nobody else knows, right? And I'll tell you what he has and what he knows that no one else knows. And it's a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. And that is, for the last however many years Taysom has been in New Orleans, 2 or 3 years, he's been able to watch him every day, and he has film on him. And so he gets to see how his mind processes things. That he gets to watch on the film, he gets to watch game film, he gets to watch practice film, and he gets to see it like every single day. And so all these teams, they see bits and pieces of Taysom Hill doing a few special teams things in a game, and that's all the film that the NFL gets. But Sean Payton gets practice film. He gets to see, so he sees the progression, he sees the maturation of Taysom Hill, not only physically on the field, but also, like, he sees it mentally. And I guarantee, and that's a powerful thing. It's massive inside information, like no one else has. They just don't have it. But it's real. It's very real, because that, I'm telling you, you live and die every day by the film.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're a player, it's like, you know, you're being videoed, you know everything, you can't hide from everything. And so you're always putting your best stuff out there, even in practice. And to have that information, and Sean Payton wouldn't say the things he's saying, wouldn't act the way that he's acted if he hadn't seen that stuff on film.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna trust the guy who's the head coach in the NFL, and not just go off of my own, like, well, I don't think Taysom's really got the accuracy, because it is what it is. Mitch, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, and this is part of the homework, and this is what we really wanted to get to today. I put out on Twitter this question. What's the starting five on your top most punchable player of all time in sports? And it could be player, it could be a sports figure, and it doesn't even have to be basketball. I just said starting five, but my question is, you're the BYU guy, so roll out for us people who you know would actually be considered the top punchable faces from BYU.
Yeah, I think the number one guy, it's pretty easy actually, would probably be Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge.
What?
Wow.
People hated Danny Ainge. People hated him. There was T-shirts that said, "I hate Danny Ainge." When he was with the BYU and the Celtics, Danny Ainge is probably near the top. So I would say probably Ainge. And then after that, I think it gets kind of easier for some of the suspects that people would probably expect. Nick Emery, I think, is definitely in there. Probably Austin Colley, too, because of that confidence, that kind of a little bit of arrogance, if you will.
Well, it was, if you live right, this happens.
I would say Austin Colley, and then also probably
Austin Colley,
Randy and Robbie Reed from basketball.
Oh, for sure, Reed brothers.
Those guys were not very well liked.
No, it's
what
true.
What about Max Hall?
Max Hall's got to be up there.
Yeah, Max Hall, too. Max Hall, definitely. I also had because I was when I saw your tweet, I had to think about this. I was going in depth about it because some of the hateable guys, but Rafael Araujo too.
Oh yeah,
Jake Heaps was someone. Jonathan Tavernari, even though I'll pull a Trump here and say, even though he's a dear friend of mine, Jonathan Tavernari.
Yeah, but
he's
see,
a dear friend of mine.
But see, JT was the same. He got the hate because he played well and he was extremely vocal. Like he was just extremely like, and not just vocal, but you saw the energy off of that guy on the floor. And I think everybody kind of I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what makes a punchable face because a lot of times it's guys who are successful. When you don't like somebody, you're like, I can't believe that guy. Like I put up there just to kind of start things off. One of the most hated figures I think in sports history are from the Bad Boys the Detroit Pistons. I put Bill Laimbeer up there, and I thought that's the quintessential thing for me. And part of what made Bill Laimbeer punchable was. He was nasty, but he also won a lot of stinking games. Yeah, you know, like that was hard.
But he also would have been proud to be at the top of that list.
I know.
Like that would have been a badge of courage and honor for him.
Yes.
To, yeah, it's like, shoot, I want to be the worst guy of all time.
That's right.
You know another one?
Yeah, let me hear
Christian Laettner.
Yeah, Christian Laettner had that.
Even his own teammates, you know.
It was a whole documentary of everyone hates Christian Laettner, right? Yeah. Wasn't that the whole thing? Yeah. Like. Or whatever. I mean, people don't like Christian Laettner, and certainly the Kentucky fans in our building are not big fans at all. Okay, from the Utah side of things, Mitch, anybody who pops into mind about punchable faces from
nobody from Utah. All angels.
So I was thinking about this. I was thinking of who BYU fans hate for Utah, and definitely near the top. Travis Wilson for Utah.
Oh,
BYU fans did not
really?
Like
Travis Wilson?
The surfer dude. Oh, yeah, because he had that look. He had the long hair. And he
Travis
just,
Wilson?
The baby giraffe.
Come on.
And that was kind of in a time, too, where Utah was like, they were having some success, but still not this great team by any stretch. And I think people thought they were a little bit overrated at times. So Travis Wilson would be in there. I'd say also Andrew Bogut.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, BYU fans hated those guys. even our own KSL sports colleague, Tom Hackett. BYU fans did not like the, this is Utah's world, and BYU's limited. And
right.
They hated that.
Absolutely.
Hated that.
And what's funny is Tom's – and. Tom has just kind of a schoolboy look too, and that almost actually adds to it. That's why, like Nick Emery, you feel like that because like he was pretty good, but he was like kind of a whiny guy. But he has this like run of the mill look, like there's just a like he could be your neighbor, and so you just kind of are like, ugh, I don't know if I like that guy. He's in this position of being an athlete, and man, the whole punchable face concept is interesting because we have people we hate. Just being honest with ourselves, Joe Ingles is one of the most punchable faces in the NBA. I mean, really. And you think about
Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley didn't have a punchable face.
Yes.
He had a punchable attitude. Like, I didn't like his attitude, but I'm trying to think of like, but Jazz guys, I mean, think about it. Grayson Allen. We had Grayson Allen and Joe Ingles sometimes on the floor at the same time. Those are two of some of the most punchable faces in the history of basketball in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. And another one from basketball for Utah, he got a little bit of a fight with Jackson Emery back in the day, Marshall Henderson.
Oh, yeah, Marshall Henderson was hated.
All right, I'll give you that.
And then also I was thinking, too, of some more football. I went back to Scott Mitchell's era. Brian
Which was
Rolle,
so long
he's a
ago.
Wide receiver.
Brian Rolle?
Brian Rolle's a good
not
one.
I like Brian Rolle at all.
Yeah.
I'll give you a football name.
Let me hear it.
It's not a BYU Utah
guy. See, football guys get away with the fact that they have helmets on the whole time, so they hide their punchable faces a little. But go ahead,
Scott.
Well,
and the dumb ones take their helmets off when they fight. Those are the ones that are the punchable faces.
That's right.
Warren Sapp.
Oh,
Sapp
yeah.
Was just,
yeah.
Oh,
and Dominican Sue's one of those guys, too.
Usually a defensive lineman, someone along those lines.
But it's because he had, like, a cheeky grin. Like, he was always smiling about something he felt like he shouldn't be smiling about.
See, I never if I could punch a quarterback's face, it would be Brett Favre.
Nobody. I love how nobody asked. Okay, give us one of the quarterbacks you played against, Scott, that you'd like to punch. He just brought it up. You know what? I'd really like to punch Brett Favre in the face. This is like some weird therapy session. Like we just start dragging up all this stuff that like Scott has these inner feelings about. So I love that.
And it was just that he was just this, ah, shucks, Southern drawl. Good old boy, And that was an act.
Yeah, he's
was
probably
the
winking
act
at you.
In the world, the guy threw more interceptions than anyone and just got away with murder. It just drove me crazy.
Mitch Harper, you can find him on KSLSports.com, his byline there, and hosting Cougar Sports Saturday, also every Saturday still, with Matt Biamonte. So join them every Saturday. And have you found yourself not having things to talk about, Mitch? Or I have not found any time that we have not had stuff to talk about.
Yeah, it's been good so far, and I think that we'll continue to get creative and find ways, and it'll be good. We'll always continue that BYU conversation.
All right. Appreciate it, Mitch. We'll talk to you again later. We're going to come back. More to go right here. We've got our buy or sell segments right around the corner here, so just stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.